What's going on, guys? Welcome to another episode of Healthspin Academy. I'm your host, Craig Shearhart, and joining me today is my special guest, Dr. Dan Ritchie, who's an expert in functional aging. So Dan started his academic career with a Bachelor of Science in Fitness Sports Medicine. I love that title of a degree. That's fantastic. He's moved on to a Master's of Science in Health, Physical Education, and Recreation from University of Wisconsin-Whitewater, and then finished his PhD in Health and Kinesiology from Purdue University. And since then, he's been working as a professional, specializing in training older adults and basically improving quality of life as we get into our later years. He's the president of Miracles Fitness and president of Functional Aging Institute. And that's his main gig right now. Dr. Dan, thanks so much for joining me today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I love doing these and love talking about this kind of stuff.
Awesome. Well, let's get into it. So I want to start the conversation with sort of how you got interested in longevity and healthy aging originally, where that all began.
Well, honestly, I wanted to train athletes. I played just about every sport in high school. And when I got that fitness and sports medicine degree at Southeast Missouri State, I was thinking about being a strength coach, Division I level. Obviously, the dream is NFL, but you realize there's only about 32 of those jobs, and those are primarily based on who you know, not how good you are at what you do.
Oh, true. I get snagged up pretty quick.
Yeah, so I spent a year as a Division I strength coach and realized, okay, this is not for me. I can't do this for the rest of my life. The hours are terrible.
Yeah, fair enough.
The pay is not great in most of the positions, and still you're subject in a lot of cases to who you know, right? In fact, I was working under the head strength coach at Southeast Missouri State, and I was like, how did the guy coach Emmett Smith and Neil Anderson and these NFL stars at the University of Florida wind up at Southeast Missouri State? Well, yeah, it's like, how does this happen? Well, you realize when the new football coach gets hired at the University of Florida, he can clean house in the strength and conditioning department if that's what he chooses to do. And right. So all of a sudden you can go from one step from the NFL, not quite getting that because your buddy left for the NFL with Shanahan, right? Coach Shanahan goes to the Denver Broncos and you wind up with the head strength coaching position thinking, well, this worked out for me. Yeah. Unbeknownst to you, like, well, 3 or 4 years from now, you might be on the street yourself. So
yeah, seriously.
So I realized I don't want my career to be dictated by football coaches' wins or losses. And I moved to Wisconsin, finished my master's degree. And here I am 23, 24 years old. And you know who kept coming to me was older athletes, people in their 50s, 60s, and 70s. And this is around 2000. So the people in their 40s and 50s coming to me were baby boomers, who I talk a lot about. But probably the client that most inspired me was the 72-year-old golfer who had 4 knee replacements. Now,
4.
Nothing really special about this guy. He's like me and you, Craig. He's got 2 knees, right? So when you're like 4 knee replacements, he had a lot of issues. And on top of that, he had a hip replacement. And he comes to me at 72 and he's like, you know, my fitness goal is kind of silly. I just want to be able to tie my own shoes again because I can't get to my own feet anymore, right? I've got such range of motion issues. I'm like, well, is that, I kind of dug in a little bit. I was like, Don, is that really the issue? Because, you know, you can wear Velcro. He was wearing Velcro shoes, you know, and feeling like this is kind of embarrassing, right?
Yeah.
He'd wear these scrunchy tie shoes, you know. He's like, you know, honestly, it's, I want to be able to tee up a golf ball without feeling like an old man. I want to be able to make a birdie putt and be able to get the ball out of the hole. He's like, and I can't get to my own feet anymore. And it's starting to impact my quality of life. And
yeah,
when he came back 4 weeks later, it just took 4 weeks. He comes back 4 weeks later. He's like, hey, Dan, check out my new shoes. And I still to this day think that is the weirdest thing that a 72-year-old guy has ever asked me. And I looked down at his shoes and I realized he's got a brand new pair of laced athletic shoes. I can't remember if they were Nikes or Reebok or what they were. That's by the so time cool. I look back up at him, I realize he's got tears in his eyes. Now I got tears in my eyes. And I'm like,
that's amazing.
This is sort of the simplest story, but it made me realize I want to help more people like this guy at 72, enjoy golf, enjoy life, do basic functional things, like be able to tie his own shoes, put his own clothes on, you know.
Those things we just take for granted.
Yeah, things that he even took for granted. You know, he was like, I probably reffed too many high school basketball games to the point of which I destroyed my knees.
Right.
Didn't realize it, running up and down the court, but loved doing that. Mm-hmm. And then he had a knee replacement go bad on him. And then his second knee replacement didn't work. They had to take it out. He had one knee replaced three times. And he's left
a nasty procedure to have to do more than one.
Yeah, exactly. He's left with a healthy, fit body with a knee that doesn't cooperate, you know? And so that led to me going to Purdue to pursue my PhD. Cause I said, I want to learn everything I can about training older adults, balance, agility, athletic movement, range of motion, recovering from rehab, surgeries. Right. Like I don't guarantee people aren't going to have lots of challenges, mm-hmm. right? I mean, people get cancer and they get heart disease and they have to have a joint replaced, but how do we overcome all those things so that we can still live well? So that's really kind of my story in a nutshell. I went from training a different kind of athlete. You know, I thought I was going to be training high level Division I to training high level athletes in their 50s, 60s, and 70s who are like, I mean, this guy was an 8 handicap golfer, but he struggled to tee up a golf ball. You know, it's like, well, let's fix that for him.
Yeah, so. Seriously. That's amazing. That's a really cool story. So it gives you perspective, right? And I think so. Let's dive into some of the symptoms we're familiar with aging, right? We tend to slow down. We tend to like lose strength and speed and power and coordination. And I think like a lot of us just tend to accept that as a part of aging and the process, especially that generation that didn't kind of grow up going to the gym, right?
Yeah.
So, but there's so much we can do about that. So, and when we do that, we start developing a program for these people. And I guess there's like a spectrum of, you know, where do we begin, but how do you start deciding what kind of training loads, what kind of range of motion, what kind of intensity we should be working with, what kind of volume and training, how many times a week they should be doing this stuff? What do those conversations look like when you first start working with someone that is an older dad?
Well, I would say we start with what are their desires, what are their goals, and what are their needs? And so we focus on what we call their need to do, like to do, and want or even dream to do, right? Mm-hmm. Like, cool. You know, for Don, it was, I want to be able to tee up a golf ball, right? Yeah. We had to really dig into it. It's like, okay, so for him, it was really range of motion. Mm-hmm. He had the cardiovascular fitness. You know, he's like, I can walk 36 holes of golf. That's not my issue, right?
Right.
So for some clients, it's a little bit more balance. For some clients, it's a little bit more strength. For some, it's a little bit more agility. For some, it's a little bit more power. So it might depend on what is it you want to do, right? So if you're thinking, I want to take up wakeboarding in my 80s, well, we probably should work on some lower body strength. We probably need to work on some upper body strength. We probably need to work on some reaction time, some agility. It's a little bit different than an 80-year-old who says, I want to do hiking or biking or swimming. Or, you know, everybody has different goals. And so your training is going to be a little bit different. Now, I always say there are some key big elements that everybody needs, right? I mean, we all need lower body functional strength, right? You got to be able to get out of a chair and off a toilet and climb stairs and move your body weight, regardless of what sport you want to do. And then we got to have some balance so we don't fall and get hurt. And we got to have enough balance to be able to do, you know, some basic things. But after that, it does change, right? In terms of what is it that's really, you know, if you want a downhill ski, we probably need to do a little bit more explosive movements with you, a little bit more hopping, a little more power. If you don't have any interest in that, you know, then it's different. And I bring up wakeboarding because, you know, Dr. Charles Ukster didn't take up wakeboarding until his 90s, right? And so if we think about like that is the norm for aging, all of a sudden we realize, well, anything I might want to do is still available to me.
Right.
It's just, how do I prepare for it? How do I train for it? How do I get ready for it with my fitness routine? Mm-hmm. You know, I had a friend recently in his late 60s decide he wanted to see if he could still summit Everest. So what he did was he went to base camp at Everest. You know, he got to 22,000 feet and he realized, I don't think I can do this anymore because I can't sleep. He realized he couldn't recover. You got to spend several days at base camp and then you work your way up to about 24,000 feet. And then you schedule out a day to go for it. Right. And you have to go from like 24 to 29,000 feet.
Right.
But if you can't sleep at base camp, you can't recover. And he realized this just isn't working for me anymore, you know? So, so there, I just try to look at sort of the global picture of what is it that you want to do? And what is it maybe you even dream to do? Right. And, you know, we had a client once in her 80s, she wanted to go to the Galapagos Islands. Mm-hmm. Right. And so her fitness program was built around, well, what do you have to do to go to the Galapagos Islands? Right. Like, well, I got to be able to hike about a mile on uneven terrain. I got to be able to navigate a beach as we boat launch onto the beach. I got to be able to climb in and out of one of those Zodiac boats, you know, like you see the Navy SEALs in, right? You know, she's like, yeah. I got to be able to get in and out of one of these things. And I said, okay, well, let's train for all of those things, right?
I love that.
Very specific.
Right.
And she's like someone in her 80s with Parkinson's can barely walk a block, right?
Wow.
And, you know, she's like, you think I can actually train for this? I'm like, I know you can train for this, but it's going to take some time, right? Like,
you didn't get to be
80 years old with Parkinson's and I can't walk a block like overnight. We're not going to get to go into the Galapagos overnight either.
For sure. I love that approach because that, like, there's multiple layers there, right? A, you're getting them to picture that goal. So it becomes more real. So it's bumping up their like motivation. And B, it's giving you a visual of the shapes that they want to be in when they're doing that activity. So like, maybe we need to work on your hinge or your squat and all those kind of like, so I love that. So simple, but so effective.
Yep.
And then it's like that great conversation you can always go back to, right? When you sort of talk about their progress.
Yeah. So, we're seeing finally more and more in the research now too, in academics, what we call task specific training, right?
Right.
So the research tends to be sometimes behind where the field is, right? Mm-hmm. And the whole functional training movement, you know, the research finally realized like, hey, if an older adult is having trouble carrying stuff up and down stairs, maybe we should do task specific training and like train them for climbing stairs and stepping up and carrying stuff. And that we start to see like, yeah, that works. If we train specifically carrying stuff up and down stairs, guess what? We get better at carrying stuff up and down stairs.
Yeah.
If I put you on a leg press, your lower body strength improves on a leg press, but it doesn't necessarily translate to carrying grandchildren who are wiggling up and down stairs, right?
100%. That's so true. Yeah. I love that. And I love that the research is starting to support those kind of like medial tasks. Like my biggest pet peeve, I think, is when someone goes to their doctor and like, you should never deadlift again in your life. I'm like, okay, well, how are they going to pick up their groceries? Right. Like it's
right. It's the age old, well, we're putting you on a 10-pound weight limit. I'm like, well, how on earth are you going to get out of bed?
Yeah.
Right. You weigh more than 10 pounds. You know, how are you going to get off the toilet? Somebody going to help you or lift you? I mean, it's like some of these things, we put them in place for people's safety.
Yeah.
But they don't always mean what they actually mean. Right. Yeah. It's like, we didn't mean you can never lift more than 10 pounds again. I just had a client this week say her physician, her orthopedist told her, well, you can't do Pilates because you have an injured rotator cuff. And so then she took that to basically mean, well, I can't do anything, right? It's like, well,
because that's all she knows what to do,
actually,
right?
Yeah. You can do Pilates. Maybe we take the arm piece of it out, right? Like Pilates is mostly core work anyway, right? It's like of all the exercises, I was thinking Pilates is probably the best for you with a shoulder injury, right? We can
I'm
train
sure
your lower body,
in the world,
your core.
There's someone doing Pilates that has no arms,
right? Exactly, right. I was like, you can have your arm in a sling and we can do Pilates. I mean, I wanted to send the orthopedist a letter. Like, do you realize that your client is taking your advice like seriously to heart and they're not going to now do anything? I was like, I don't think that's even what the physician meant. I think they meant like, you can't do body weight exercises with your arm until we get your rotator cuff fixed, but you don't have to let the rest of your core go and all these other things. So it's very interesting how sometimes people think, oh, well, because I'm a certain age, I shouldn't deadlift or squat or lunge or run or fill in the blank. The reality is certain exercises are completely safe for people regardless of their age. Now, I don't need to do heavy barbell deadlifting with a 90-year-old unless that's their goal, right? But I also don't have to throw the exercise out,
right?
So sometimes we make those mistakes. And I think when we do that, we reveal our prejudice or our ageism, right? We say, oh, well, they're 80, so therefore they shouldn't do. It's like, why? It has nothing to do with their age.
Nothing should be off the table. If they can hit it, if they can hit the safe positions without load.
If it's safe and meets their goals and their desires, then it's appropriate, right?
100%. So, you know. Yeah, I fully agree. And I think like the other layer to this is like that generation didn't grow up where information was just everywhere, right? So they're not as resourceful in picking it up. And if, so if they hear it from a doctor, they're like, okay, I guess this is just the way it is. And they would never question it. Right. You don't realize that the physicians aren't trained in training 101, right? They don't, they don't have as much of a background. So, and I think that's a lot of times just to save their own ass. Anyway, so that's, we'll save sort of trashing the medical system.
Yeah. But, I'm not saying negative things about physicians, but I think sometimes they put limits on people that then people take too far, right? It's like, well, my doctor told me I can't exercise. I'm like, I don't think that's what your doctor meant when they said, hey, take it easy until we have shoulder surgery, right?
Yeah.
You know, like
exactly.
If you had said, hey, I want to do my core workout and my lower body workout is, I want to take a walk, your doctor probably would have been like, sure, do all of that prior to shoulder surgery.
Yeah, 100%. So as you get into that age group, I know there's been this back and forth. There's been evidence that's shown that hypertrophy, I think the peak age, as I said, was like 60 or something like that. Now they're starting to like pull back on that. So, but we know muscle mass is important as we age too. How much weight do you put in pure muscle mass versus functional strength when you start to work with someone like that?
Ooh, that's a complex question. Both are important. And typically what we see is that people will have dramatic improvements in strength, even in their 90s and hundreds.
Right.
In some cases, 100% improvement in strength, which is dramatic, with very little hypertrophy, very little hypertrophy. So the emphasis on muscle mass, while it's important and we want to maintain as much muscle mass, what we see is the neurological effect of training. I mean, the muscles just get more efficient without having to get a lot larger is dramatic for people as they're older. Now, we've also seen from over 100 research studies that people can grow muscle mass in their 80s, in their 90s, even in their hundreds.
Right.
Now, it's hard to study people in their hundreds with strength training, so we don't have as much data there, but we see it with people in their 70s, 80s, and 90s that they can grow muscle mass, which is critical. But the bigger piece I think we see is they can grow a dramatic amount of functional strength.
Right.
I mean, if you have someone that can't get out of a chair, in a lot of cases, they don't have to even double their muscle mass. All they have to do is improve their neurological recruitment, train the movements. And all of a sudden, 6 to 8 weeks of strength training, they're getting out of a chair. Right. And it's not like they put on 50 pounds of muscle like a bodybuilder, right, in 6 to 8 weeks. So there's both are involved. The muscle mass equation, I really think, is critical as people age. They maintain as much muscle mass as possible. And so this is what we call physiologic reserve.
Right.
It's really, really critical in your 50s, 60s, and 70s that you are strength training as often as you should be to maintain as much muscle mass as possible. So when you get into your 80s and 90s, you have much more reserve left because we know you're going to lose some muscle mass. You know, I hate to tell people this, but when you're 90, you're not going to have as much muscle mass as you do in your 30s and 40s. So you need to build as much reserve as possible.
Right.
So that when you get to your 90s, you still have enough left that it's not an issue.
Right.
My grandmother at 97 was still going upstairs to loft apartments. And I even gave my sister a hard time. I was like, you put grandma in a loft apartment? And she looked at me. She's like, why would I not? She's like, what's the matter with you? She can go up and downstairs. No problem. I'm like, oh yeah, that's true. Why would I say that? Because she had enough physiologic reserve, right? I mean, this was someone in her 60s and 70s who would knock you down giving you a hug, right? Like my friends always said, your grandma gives like full contact tackle hugs. I'm like, yeah, you better be ready because she will crush you.
She's going all in.
She's going all in, full contact. So,
that's amazing.
And because she was so active in her 70s and 80s, even at 97 years old, she's still, I mean, I never saw her use a cane or a walker or
anything
like that, right? So
that's
even up to her very last days in her 99, and she made it to 99 and three quarters. So we all took it for granted she'd make it to 100.
Good for her. That's impressive. So let's talk about the piece. I think it kind of gets forgotten, but we know that cognitive decline is almost universal as we get age. At some point, that's going to start to slow down. We know exercise is one of the biggest preventative measures we can do for that. And the sooner we get on that, the better.
Yeah.
Is that something that becomes tangible when you start working with older people? Are they noticing that they've got more clarity, or maybe they're thinking more clearly? Or is that like, how would you describe some of the that piece?
Yes, I would say most clients notice if they don't exercise. I think the way they notice it most is when exercise become absent.
Right.
When they take 2, 3, 4 weeks off, they start to notice. I'm not fog. As sharp.
Right.
My mental clarity is not quite as quick. Some of my executive functions just like, man, I got to get back to the gym.
Right.
I think they almost describe it as sort of a whole body. Like I'm not quite as strong, not quite as quick, but they also start to notice it cognitively. So I don't know that clients always are as attuned to how much it's impacting them on a day-to-day basis.
Right. Until it's taken away.
Until it's taken away, right? And yeah. So with the exception of maybe some of the more severe clients, people that have dementia, people that have Parkinson's, people that have more cognitive challenges already, they know like, man, if I don't get my daily dose of exercise, it has an impact on each and every day, almost by the hour, right? Yeah. But for the, you know, sort of the average healthy aging older adult, I don't think they notice it as much until it's really taken away.
Yeah,
that makes sense. Think some notice it pretty quickly if they haven't been doing anything. When we see clients start in their 70s and they really haven't been doing anything for 20, 30 years, I think about the 8 to 12 week mark, they start to notice just everything is getting better, right?
Yeah.
I move better. Mm-hmm. I sleep better. I just feel sharper. I have more energy. Just I feel almost like I did 10, 15 years ago. And so it's difficult unless you're doing cognitive assessments. Sometimes I think it's difficult for them to put their finger on it.
Right.
But I know some of the newer studios now, Activate Brain and Body is going to be doing that where every 12 weeks you get a cognitive assessment. So you can start to see like, because let's be honest, most people in their 70s aren't going for six-pack abs. They're not necessarily looking for those body comp improvements. And so sometimes it's difficult to measure, like, how much have you changed? And so when we start to assess some of the cognitive things and people are like, oh, wow, I'actually, my brain is getting fitter. It's performing better.
That's amazing.
That's cool stuff to measure. So that's a critical complexity of we've got to be doing some cardiovascular work in that 70% intensity to get the blood flow to our brain.
Right.
But we've also got to be doing some cognitive fitness challenges, you know, like different stepping patterns and different games and maybe multitask, dual tasking things where you're doing lunges while counting or doing colors and, you know, just
love that.
Throwing new challenges at people. So it's not just, hey, go do your 3 sets of 10 on the machine, right? Because I can turn my brain off while I do that. Right? I mean, so we want to make sure that we're stimulating the brain in very much the same way we do with kindergartners, first graders, and second graders, right? Yeah. I mean, they learn to skip and hop and gallop and hop on one foot and do different movement patterns. And their brain has to learn those things. And so we want to do that with older clients too.
Yeah, I love that. And I feel like once you get people getting results, then it's like all the other pieces start to clean up. They want to eat cleaner and prioritize sleep and all that stuff. And all that just, it's just like you said, it all just contributes to the greater gain across the board. So,
yeah, absolutely. When you're on a path of healthier habits impacting your ability to do stuff, it really does impact your overall wellness, right? Yeah. I mean, because at the end of the day, it's like, we want to live life to the fullest. I don't know if you're going to make it to 87 or 97, but as we start to do things better and we realize, man, I might actually live 10 years longer than I ever guessed. I better do it well.
Yeah. Let's make them good years instead of sitting in a chair.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Let's talk a little bit about you talked about explosive pieces, right? So obviously that's got to scale to whatever level they're at. And fast switch, we know declines a little bit more rapid as we get a little older. So my mind goes to Olympic lifting when I get into it, but I know that that's not practical for the typical 90-year-old per se. And maybe after like months and months of working on form mobility, we can maybe get some version of that. But what does that look like for you? Do you work on like speed squats? Or do you jumping? Like what does a basic kind of fast twitch routine look like for that you design for a client?
Yeah. So similar concept, but I would say Medicine balls are great tools because we can throw them, we can slam them, we can smash them, we can toss them. Anything with throwing type implements or pushing or even pressing are great. But as simple as get out of a chair fast, right? Get up fast. So we take the squatting movement and we turn it into, I don't care whether you jump off the floor anymore, but how fast can you get out of the chair? Right. Okay. And then sit back down nice and easy and then do it again. How fast can you get? So that squatting pattern, jumping pattern is a critical power move and people lose that. And part of why the fast twitch decline, I think more so, is that we simply stop moving fast and with power and with speed, right? We stop running, we stop sprinting, we stop jumping, we stop climbing, we stop doing all these fast twitch things. So those muscle fibers, and they don't have to deteriorate more so. It's just we're not training them. And so let's add some hopping, some jumping. And there's always people that can't jump, right? Don, who had four knee replacements, I wouldn't have had him jump, but he could pretend to jump, right? Like get up as fast as you can. You just don't have to actually leave the ground, right? And then quick steps. So lots of different foot pattern drills where we're doing quick feet, right? So quick stepping, maybe quick step ups, quick step touches. So you're not actually even stepping. You're just literally step touching or step tapping.
Right.
The other ones that we really like are, well, if you have the equipment, Kaiser's a great piece because you can do any sort of functional movement with strength and power with resistance, right? So Kaiser will allow you to do a baseball swing, a tennis swing, a pick something up off the floor, any sort of dynamic movement you want with resistance, with speed, safely. Kettlebells are great because now I can do things like, you know, a clean or a snatch or a swing, certain movements like that. So there are implements that we can use that people of all ages would use in terms of strength training. So for us, it's more about speed, right? Even things like just getting out of a chair and going 10 feet as fast as you can, right? So like an up and go short sprint. Now, if you're healthy enough, let's do some real sprinting, right? Yeah. Let's encourage people in their 70s to take up sprinting.
Yeah, I love that.
You know, because that is going to get those fast twitch fibers working again.
Yeah.
I mean, my dad's in his 70s and I'm pretty sure he's still faster than me. But he gets out to the track and he runs hundreds and 200s and 400s. He works at it, you know.
That's amazing. Good for him.
And you've got to keep doing that. And so now some people are like, well, I don't want to be sprinting. Well, then let's find something that makes sense for you. You know, whether it's getting up from the floor quick, getting out of a chair quick, even stomping drills. I mean, we will literally have people smash pretend bugs on the floor, right? And stomp them, right? So that's power, right? And it's power in a downward force. And that's even good for bone density too. So Absolutely. We can get creative with lots of different exercises. And I mean, we even have videos of I think he's an 82 or 83 year old client doing 30 inch box jumps, right? Like jumping up on a box. Well, I hope to be able to jump up on a 30 inch box when I'm in my 80s.
No kidding. So,
but yeah, obviously he had to train for that, right? Sure. He also had to maintain a fair amount of lower body strength so he can even do something like that. But we show him in a video do 5 quality reps in a row.
Right.
Right. And for somebody his age, that's probably all he needs to do 2 or 3 times a week. And if he keeps doing it, he will keep that ability, right? He'll keep that speed, that power, that explosiveness.
Yeah. That's awesome.
So yeah, there really aren't specific rules. I don't think things like, you know, barbell snatches and barbell cleans are probably the safest, most appropriate for most people.
Yeah.
Because we're going to have shoulder issues and orthopedic issues and range of motion issues. But we can do a lot of these things with medicine balls, kettlebells, and other implements that are pretty safe.
True. I love that. So I guess the other piece, you kind of alluded to this, you're talking about shoulder issues and stuff like that. So when we move faster, obviously we're working fast twitch, but then we're typically, there's a little bit higher risk of injury. So, and that's obviously a higher consideration when they're older, right? So beyond like your basic mobility and form, are there extra cautions you take with preventing injuries around these athletes?
The main caution is making sure that one, a client is prepared to do the movement. So mm-hmm. they've prepared well, which means dynamic warm up.
Sure.
And we've evaluated, can they actually do this range of motion, right? I don't want to mm-hmm. ask somebody to do something overhead, for example, when I know from an assessment they can't even get their arm overhead, yeah. right? So that doesn't make sense. But
yeah.
really, the research has shown the vast majority of power training is completely safe with older mm-hmm. adults. There's mm-hmm. not a higher risk for injury, except when we're doing the most intense, right? So right. if I ask someone to do a one rep max, then my risk of injury goes up a little bit.
Sure.
But you know what? It also goes up a little bit with college and NFL level athletes, right? Like when you're at the maximal, I mean, where do people get hurt? At maximal exertion. So
yeah,
we don't need to do that with these older athletes. I don't need to get their one rep max on a power test
right.
unless I'm doing research. So most of what we see is the injury rate is not any higher. Mm-hmm. In fact, they're going to do some of these things at home on their own, right? Like run up the stairs to get something really fast.
Right.
So let's prepare them to do that in a safe way. So really, I would challenge even what you said. I don't think it's higher risk as long as we're being smart about it, which is why we don't, like with that 82-year-old client, we know he can do a 30-inch box jump and he can do 5 quality reps in a row. I don't need to set up a 40-inch box jump and go, oh, he can do that. Well, let's see if he can do 48.
Right.
Let's take the box to yeah. where he can't do it and he gets hurt trying, right? I don't yeah. need to do that test, right?
Let's set up a rim and see if he can dunk.
Exactly. Yeah. So sometimes I'm like, you know what? If somebody can do 10 jump squats really well, I don't need to test what's their maximum, you yeah. know? So, because that's where we run into a risk for injury. A lot of that I think is just common sense, right? Yeah. Like let's keep safety at a high level priority. Mm-hmm. And then really power training is as safe as anything else. It really isn't any riskier. You know, I always say medicine balls. Well, they're risky because if you don't use the implement correctly, like it will bounce back and hit you in the face and break your nose,
yeah.
you know? So there's yeah. some common sense involved in these things.
Yeah, for sure. Let's talk about, so after working with these people, let's look through the other lens. So you've seen clients that have achieved great things, but obviously the sooner in life we can start tackling these from a preventative measure, the better. So what are the take home points that you've found? Like what, if you could kind of take that person and take them back in time, what would they change? Or if you could ask them, I think about what they were doing closer to like 30s, 40s, 50s ages.
Yeah. I mean, we talk about the trajectory of aging mm-hmm. and most people agree. And most of the research points to, we physiologically peak somewhere in our late 20s, early 30s. Mm-hmm. And it probably varies depending on even what your sport or activity is, right? Like gymnastics, it's going to be, you know, early 20s, maybe yeah. even teens, right?
Yeah.
You know, certain sports, I mean, you look at the NFL, for example. I mean, we have quarterbacks in their late 30s, even early 40s, but you know what? We don't have defensive backs in their late 40s, right? Yeah. So it depends on the sport and that.
Yeah.
If we realize we physiologically peak somewhere in our early 30s, really what that means is we have to start the fight really, really hard at that point in terms of what's our trajectory of aging, right? If I'm working really, really hard in my 30s, 40s, and even 50s, I can level that off pretty dramatically. Mm-hmm. And at 55, be like, you know what? I've dropped off a little bit from 35, but not much, right? My cardiovascular output is still similar. My strength is still similar. I don't have any limitations in terms of what I want to do. Mm-hmm. Sure, I can't go play pro sports anymore, but I'm still at a really, really high level of function. And that has a huge impact then on what 75 and 85 look like, right? If you start training at 60 and you've spent 30 years sitting on the couch, it's just a lot harder to rebuild and recover, right? So, while I always say it's never too late to start, it sure helps if you start a lot earlier, right? Like I'm always like, don't put it off because that has an impact, right? So Cody and I, my business partner, Cody, we joke, 30 years of sitting on the couch, eating too much ice cream, watching too much TV also has a training effect, right? And it's not a good one, right? You show up at 65 and you got joint issues and you're overweight and you're out of shape and you're on medications and you're like, well, what have you been doing? Well, I've been busy raising kids and a career. So So I think the 30s, 40s, and 50s are critical.
Yeah.
However, I do always say, look, don't let that be an excuse, right? If you're 60 years old and you're in terrible shape, well, let's get you in the best shape of your life now and undo all those bad habits and start to take the weight off and improve your nutrition and change your trajectory for the future. Because if we don't, boy, your 70s are sure going to look bleak based on the trajectory you're on now, right?
100%. So, yeah, for sure. So I'm really interested to get your take on how, so you kind of started on a trajectory, you're going to train these elite athletes, you've moved to the older population. How does that change your own perspective on your own habits and your fitness? And so where does that lie right now? What is your main focus with your own training and health and fitness?
Yeah, I would say for me personally, it comes down to kind of two things. I talked a little bit about physiologic reserve. Mm-hmm. Strength is pretty important to me. I've always been a stronger than average person. And in most cases, I was typically stronger than the person I was competing against in sports. And and that was always an advantage because I was usually slower than them. They were always a little bit quicker, but I was a little bit stronger, you know? Right. So, well, now in my mid to late 40s, I don't have to be the quickest person, but it sure is handy to be the strongest person.
Right.
And so I'm primarily focused on maintaining as much muscle mass as I can. And in some cases, even continuing to build muscle mass because I know that's going to serve me well. I don't want to be an 85-year-old man and have trouble getting out of a chair. Right.
Yeah.
And so that's sort of a basic core principle to me in terms of fitness. And then probably the other big one is cardiovascular fitness. I've never been a runner. I never will be. It doesn't interest me.
Yeah,
I'm like, if somebody's like, you want to go for a run? I'd be like, no, there's like 9 other things I'd rather do. but if you ask me to go for a hike or go get lost in the woods or the mountains or do something like that, I want to be ready to go 10, 12 miles, however far you want to go. Right.
Yeah.
And if I got to carry a 30-pound pack, great. I'll carry everybody's water and food and whatever we need to do. I mean, if you're going to hike 10 miles out into the wilderness, you got to carry stuff with you, right? Because you never know what could go wrong. So I've been more focused on my ability to maintain sort of long distance cardiovascular health, right? I want to be able to do 10, 12, 14 mile hikes. That's what I really enjoy doing with my kids. And I hope to do that with my grandkids someday. Cool. And I realize when my grandkids are little, like somebody's going to have to carry them. Cause I used to carry my kids into the mountains, you know, and I realized I don't think I'm in good enough shape now to carry a 2-year-old, you know, on a, in a backpack. So those are kind of my, fitness focuses. I also want to be able to maintain enough athletic ability that I can continue to play sports like soccer. I play that with my kids quite a bit.
Cool.
So the ability to move, be athletic, play pickup games of softball and wiffle ball and all those. So those are probably the main sports I play with my kids: soccer, softball, wiffle ball. Kickball is a big one. We play a lot of kickball.
Nice.
So that kind of informs my fitness. And then probably the other thing is just the consistency.
Right.
I have realized that exercising 5 to 6 days a week is critical for my just overall health and well-being, from mental health to stress to just how my body feels. And the older I get, you know, in my 30s, I probably could go a couple of weeks without working out and not notice. And now in my 40s, it's like, man, if I go 3-4 days without working out, it feels like, what happened? You know, so the consistency is really, really important.
Cool. Awesome. That's I appreciate you sharing that with us. That's all like baseline stuff and also good, simple to do, right? When you get a routine.
Yeah.
What's the best way for people to learn more from you, Dan, and the Functional Aging Institute?
There's a couple different things simplest is check out our website, functionalaginginstitute.com. Mm-hmm. We've got lots of resources there. If you're looking for a trainer, we can even help connect you. Our YouTube channel, which is also Functional Aging Institute, we've got well over 100 videos there.
Awesome.
And then our personal training studio, if you're really looking for like local, I don't expect you to pop in West Lafayette, Indiana. We're right next to Purdue University. But you could check out our fitness studio is miraclesfitness.net.
Awesome.
And we actually, I don't know if I have a copy of my book sitting here, but we mail copies of my book out to people who are just like, hey, I want to get like more information on this whole never grow old philosophy and keep training. So you can hop on our website, miraclesfitness.net, and there's a box there where you can say, I want a free copy of Dan's book. We'd be happy to send those to you.
Cool, man. We'll link to that in the show notes. Well, Dan, this has been an awesome chat. I really appreciate the time, man. This is awesome. Super informative.
Yeah. My pleasure.
Cool. Well, thanks for tuning in to Healthspan Academy, guys, and we'll see you next time.